Seven knife and hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and hell is.
Yo, 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 ladies and gentlemen, we are back. 79th and Hallis, week two, training camp recap for y'all, man. This is episode 224 of this glorious podcast that you guys are a fan of. We appreciate each and every one of y'all. We got a lot of followers this week, too, I realize. I think we gained like 400 extra followers this week. Like, and Sean, I think a lot of that was from the interview. The interview and then also some of our camp reactions. But a lot of people... like the Tyreek Stevenson interview I did. And I appreciate all y'all. My interview got chopped up and thrown on a random nigga's TikTok. I thought that was pretty cool. All together, we got like a couple thousand views from my Instagram and my TikTok. And, of course, Twitter. Got a lot of views on that. Had a couple people stop me at camp. Shout out my man Greg Braggs Jr. You know, saw him at camp a couple times this week. Just a lot of people tweeting. I appreciate all the love y'all from the interview. And, y'all, that's just one of many player interviews y'all be getting from us this season. Me and my brother will be switching off. You know, any big interviews we'll get, we're going to try to get both of us at the same time doing that. But Foles is next up on deck for the next interview we get. So, you know, appreciate everybody for supporting that. But if you are a new listener to this podcast, you can follow me on Twitter at BarbChairScott. You can follow Flows at Flows Andolini. You can follow 79th and Hallis, 79th and Hallis. And also, you can follow the great network that this podcast and many others on, the Barber's Chair Net, at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. We have three different tiers. A shout out to everybody who subscribed to the new 79th and Hallis tier. We got a lot of new subscribers this week. So if you just want 79th and Hallis content, you'll be getting through the regular season. And, of course, now because every episode of this podcast will be up on the Patreon at least a day or two before it hits the regular Barbershare feeds. So if you want to be the first ones to check out the content, subscribe to the $5 79th and Hallis tier. If you're somebody who you just like listening to summer sessions, which is me, J.R. Bang, Pavi, Merk Murphy, where we just talk about random stuff that's going on in the world, in entertainment, and just our lives, you can follow that and with the $5 summer sessions tier. And then if you want everything that we have on the Barber's Chair Network Patreon, just subscribe to the Barber's Chair All Access tier, which is just a $10 holler, man. So we appreciate everybody who supports everything we do. Flows, how you feeling?
Well, I just woke up recently, so a little sleepy.
It's a lazy Saturday today.
It really is. We were not there. There were some complications that prevented us from being in practice. And then tomorrow is Family Fest Day, so enjoy the let's make a few throws for the fans and call it a day
session. Much. And there's 50-50 chance it might get canceled because it might be raining tomorrow. So, yeah.
Then Monday's off. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm back at work. So, and then I think they go to Indianapolis next week.
You're back at work on Friday,
unfortunately.
So you will be at the Wednesday, at the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday practices. Okay, just make sure we on the road. I always like to know when I have to drive. This will be our last week of camp coverage. I think there's only like one more week of camp after this. One or two more weeks. I'm not 100% sure, but
yeah.
Where's the last actual camp practice?
So next week. Next week, of course, is everything, and then the week of the 14th, they will be all everything will be in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And then the week of the 21st, you'll have three practices. But then you're starting with
the regular protocol.
Yeah.
Okay.
After the week,
it's only two more weeks of camp. Three more if you include, right?
Yeah, because the week of the 21st, there is two practices, and then the rest you can't see. Okay. No practice viewing period. That's when they start gamemanship, game plan, and everything. Yeah. So
that's when they only let the media watch warm-ups, and then we got to go back to our little cubicles. This upcoming week. So the week of the 8th will be our last week of training camp coverage. Joe begins work on Friday. I will be back in Los Angeles on Monday. Now I will be in LA for a couple weeks. Then I will be back first week of September. I'm going to be doing at least 14 games this year.
Yeah.
So I'll probably only be in LA for a total of 6 weeks for the rest of this entire year. we are on the season grind. So this will be our last week of camp, coverage. And we got an event in like a month. We're not ready to announce it yet, but we will be having a flyer out within the next couple weeks with all the information. It's going to be a great time. And there's going to be some cool prizes too. So, look out for information on that within the coming weeks if you are in the Chicagoland area, man. So, and like I said on the Twitter a couple days ago, merchandise is coming next month and it will be at this event. So, you might want to come to this event and get your first, be the first ones to get some 79th and House merchandise. But week two is in the books. There was, before today, it was four practices this week? Or
something like that.
Joe went to two, I went to all four. Before we get to the actual, signings that happened this week, two big signings happened this week. What's your thoughts on this second week of camp, man? I thought it was kind of chippy this week.
Yes, definitely. This is what happens when the pads get on. Of course, I have no clue what it's like to play in the NFL, but I know in high school, as soon as our pads went on after 2 days, because we had mini camp 2 days, which was a week, I think, maybe a weekend, I can't remember. Week. And then we got into real, real training camp. And as soon as the pads went on, yeah, people were chirping, people were talking. And if the defense got an interception, a fumble, they got a big hit in. And bear in mind, high school hits more than the NFL. Not because it's tougher, but just because high school is stupid and we hit more than the NFL. And so we're in there smacking niggas and taking full-blown tackles. The defense gets chippy. It's just the defense is chippy by nature. And you want your defense to be chippy. I don't want to see them get a big play and then do nothing. I want to see them be amped because it's like the defense lives and dies on – what would be the word? Momentum.
Juice is the word that's been thrown a lot at camp this week. Juice.
They live and die on that. And so I love to see that happen within defenses. It's cool. It's fun to see. It's fun to see that, that they're getting amped up and everything. And so, yeah, it's just a part of training camp. I like it.
Yeah, I think this week, man, like you said, when the pads came on, which is something that everybody was anticipating for the pads to come on, I liked what I saw from both teams, especially the defense. Yeah, I think the big hype coming into this season is all about the offense, what Justin Fields is going to do, what's the wide receiving core going to do, what's this new look offensive line going to look like. And we were all kind of like, the defense is whatever because, the pass rush, and we'll get to the pass rush in a minute. But I got to say, man, the defense this week showed up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The defense showed up this week. Eddie Jackson, his presser yesterday, he had me fired up. He was talking about it was good to see Eddie smiling and happy because it's not been a good couple of years, not just for Eddie being hurt. And, of course, before last year, his productivity was down a little bit. The team hasn't been good since 2018. And that was his second year in the league. But you can see some of that spark coming back. And Eddie is the elder statesman on this defense. He's the one who has been in the league longer than anybody. I think maybe outside of Tremaine Edmonds. I think him and Tremaine might be the same class. They were both drafted in 2017. I think him and Tremaine were drafted the same year.
There's no one on the defense from 2018 there, right?
He's the only one.
The only one.
Eddie's the only one.
Offensive-wise, was Cody Whitehair there yet?
Cody Whitehair. If you want to do a total, only people on this team who were on in 2018 was Cody Whitehair, Eddie Jackson, and Patrick Scales. That is it.
Patrick Scales, that's right.
That's the only people from that team. Eddie Jackson and Tremaine Edmonds were drafted the same year. But
really,
the
other two, 2017?
So they're the oldest people on, oldest, 10-year players on the defense. But Eddie's been here the longest. Eddie is part of that 2017 class. You know what I'm saying? He's the one of the last people here. You know what I'm saying? And to see, he was excited, and he was talking about, that's just the juice. And, one thing that I like, we're seeing at camp, not just from this, but even kind of like with the Cowboys, with Trayvon Diggs and when he was talking to Dak. Now, granted, it wasn't no crazy talking to Justin this week, but
But I don't care what anybody says. You just don't say that.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what? I take that back. It could be because we're from Chicago and there are certain words you don't say.
There's certain words we don't say.
Like, what's the LA word that you just don't say?
Goofy. Not goofy. Weirdo. Weirdo. My bad.
We say weirdo.
Weirdo is what goofy is in Chicago.
Weirdo. We say it all the time. I'm like a weirdo. Boy, that's a weirdo. And nothing happens. Yeah. I guess you say that LA. It's
call somebody weirdo in LA. It's going to be a problem.
And so it could just be that in Chicago, we just don't say that to one another.
Yeah.
Like you said, boy, goofy ass nigga, like, I'm going to want to fight you. That means you want to throw down with me. I don't know what the white person word is. Get fucked or something. I don't know.
right.
You know, I have no clue what the word is. But for black folks, that's you want to fight. And so to hear, and then Diggs might just, that just might be how they do when they from. I don't know. But what do you say?
Well, he went off on Shady McCoy because Shady McCoy said they don't respect him. He said we never, you know, defensive players never talk like that to Donovan or Vic, or Big Ben or whatever when whatever teams he was at. And he was like, nah, we respect him. We just in a hit a battle. He don't know what you're talking about. Da 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 da. But my point is, defenses are supposed to be aggressive. Now we can debate whether that was a little bit over the line or whatever, but there wasn't none of that towards Justin. But one thing Eddie did say yesterday was, your defense, we're supposed to be riled up. He said the offense, not to say that, he said the offense have a lot of silent assassins. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He said they speak with their action. He said, and they came with it today. He said, we got in them on Wednesday. They came right back. Me and T-Main, talking about Tremaine, we said, me and T-Main, we had to we got to get at them in 11-on-11s. And so he was talking about praising Jaquan Brisker. So there's two people to me who I think is having the best camp. Is outside of the obvious Justin Fields, but the two best people having the best camp, Chase Claypool and Jaquan Brisker. And he said when the Yannick Ngakoue news broke down, he said it was 8 p.m. He was asleep. He said Jaquan texted like, "Yo, it's up." And I was dying laughing because when he said that, one of the media members, I won't name who they was, like, "So what did the text say?" I was like, "Nigga, he said it's up." like that. That's what, you don't know what that means. But he was just like, "It's up." So you can just see the energy and excitement coming from Eddie and just this entire defense this week. And just, I feel like with the pass coming on, it was a lot more vocal. And even Darnell Mooney was like, and I think that's why hearing stuff and seeing stuff is a lot different than what's reported. Because there were some Bears fans who took what Darnell Mooney said, like, oh, we need to be more talkative. And that starts with the quarterback. Like, he was being, just calling Justin out. And he wasn't calling Justin out. He was just saying, like, we look up to him. He's got to be more aggressive. And honestly, people forget, Mooney's a vet. You want your vets to say that. You know what I'm saying? Justin's the leader of the team. Mooney, a vet, he's been in the league longer than Justin. Yeah. So he's like, yo, we just need him to speak up a little bit. We know he can. We know he's been able to do. So I just felt like this week in general was just more, it was more vocal. There was a play I saw Jaquan Brisker walked up to Luke Getsy. He was like, boy, stop playing with me, run something else, which I thought was amazing. And even Getsy's young in the team, getting like, yo, we need to get into it. And one thing I loved about it, you can see the Eberflus is a real football guy. Flus is just taking all this in and just like he's loving everything that's going on. So I feel like this is a real productive week of camp. Hot week, by the way. I was cooking yesterday, but it was a good week.
Yeah, I'd say the same too. Everything has to come with context because training camp, there's no gamemanship. There is no how we're going to plan and anticipate the defense. Right now, you're getting yourself ramped up. During the offseason, it was your time to get in shape. And Matt praised the two players, specifically Darnell Wright, for remaining in shape and for being ready. Training camp starts. It's time for us to get back to the speed of playing football. So the cornerbacks get used to putting that muscle memory to work against the wide receivers and other skill players. The quarterbacks get used to making that those small window throws to getting that timing down. But you're not gaming the other team. The other defense. You're not gaming the offense. You're there just to run some plays in order to get yourself prepared for that. And so you're going to have some days where the defense does well, the offense does well. You don't want to have a camp where one side is dominating. That means the other side sticks.
And that's what Justin was saying too. Another media member who I will not name was questioning him, and he was just like, well, yeah, the defense is supposed to make it better. If we were just running all up and down the field, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah. You wouldn't want that. You would want your offense to have a good day, to have a good session, and your defense to have a good day, have a good session. I saw some people who were with the 49ers. Well, Trey Lance had 5 good days of practice. I'm like, that's good, but you also want him to go little negative sometimes.
You're not hearing that about Brock Purdy in camp, are you? No, you're not.
You know what I'm saying? You don't. And I remember people used to do that with Mr. Biscuit. You know, I did. I look at him putting together a good string of plays. Yeah. Like, we're babying him. You want the players to have some struggles, some games, because you want them to get back in shape for when it's time to play football. And so as the preseason games continue to roll, I don't care if a mistake happens. That's what the point of it is for. You want to see that happen. You want to see them deal with it. And so I think it was a really good week of practice. It seems today it was the same too, a bit of a balanced. We weren't there, but it's looking at my boy Zach Pearson, who had a few notes.
Shout out to Zach.
Said, you know, so my boy said Justin was sharp, defense was sharp here. Jaquan Briscoe, well, not Jaquan Briscoe, Jaquan Briscoe wasn't practicing, but I forgot who they said looked sharp today on defense. So yeah, you know, this is what you like to see. And so that's training camp, though, man. You can't, just like I think they said. Some quarterback threw two interceptions or interception. No, it was Bryce Young. He threw an interception in the last 5 days. I'm like, first off, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
He's young. And he's not used to the speed of even NFL practicing.
Yeah.
This isn't a game, just NFL practicing. He's fine. As of now, he's fine. But, you know, I wonder if these organizations have to write those. Should this be a cause of concern for fans so you can – the clickbaity headline so that you can view the article?
A lot of media, they work for bigger companies, so, like, you need people to click the articles. And also, a lot of these papers, you know, because we know about, we're not going to get into the business history of papers today, but a lot of them are behind a paywall. So you got to have some type of headline to make people want to pay that $2 to read what they're saying. So it's a little bit of drawback in that, too. But like you said, like, in interceptions, me and you said this on the show multiple times. I've said this on I'm Not Gonna Hold You. Like, I don't care about interception. We're in such a pass-heavy league now. As long as you're not over 15, as long as you ain't, you know, 15 or higher, who cares? Yeah. In practice, it's elevated because it's training camp. It's the beginning of the football season. This is where everybody, there's really no games being played. It was only the Hall of Fame game, and, you know, and the Nasty Man didn't play, and neither did Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, it was two backups going at it. So, it's really nothing for us to talk about. So, you're going to make the smaller deals out of little situations. But more than anything is, you know, when you're talking about quarterbacks, we know from a history of having bad quarterbacks, key words, we know a quarterback is bad. We've been hearing a lot I've seen Packers media just blasting Jordan Love, like blasting. So, you know, you can see when, oh, we had a good day or two. That means he's not good. You know what I'm saying? We've been saying that about Justin Fields. No, we have not. You know, well, we had a good day today. Those are key words you want. But there's two things that got thrown around Hallis Hall a lot this week. It's juice was the word that was thrown around, and iron sharpens iron. That was the two things that was thrown around this week. And I think it was just really eventful. But I want to talk about, actually, before I talk about, you were talking about the NFL speed. Tyler Scott, who had a really good presser this week, brought up that. And he was just saying how I had to, you know, take him, you know, a while to adjust to the speed. You know, certain things he could do in college that he can't do now. And that's a big factor. And that's all what training camp is about. But I want to talk about Chase Claypool. What do you think about Chase this entire camp?
I honestly thought he's having a really good camp. And it seems like Justin is intent on finding him, intent on getting him involved. And it could be just a product of them building their chemistry together. But he looks in his intentionality is – evangelicals at seminary would say his intentionality was always seems headed towards Chase Claypool. Okay, let's get Chase Claypool involved. Let's get Chase involved in this. He's there. It's a tough catch. It's a defender draping on him. See if he can make a catch. And I think that bodes well for the offense. But, of course, you know, also Darnell Mooney is still getting revamped into the offense after suffering an injury.
And I think he looked good this week.
You know, and so you want to see that. So, no, yeah, I think that's a really good sign for Bears fans. And for the Bears themselves, just to have him, because if you have three good wide receivers, one being outstanding and DJ Moore, you have everything a quarterback needs. So yeah, I'm excited from what I saw.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like Justin has been intentionally finding Chase, and I always feel like all the heat that Chase has got here since October when he came, it's been stupid. And this just goes back to our, you know, fans' infatuation with draft picks they were going to use on a wide receiver 9 times out of 10 who wouldn't have been as decorated as Chase Claypool. Number one, number two, Poles got that draft pick back in the DJ Moore deal. Yeah. And I think in the Roquan or the Robert Quinn deal or whatever. He got those deals back. And you can't expect a guy to just come in middle of the season. Like in NFL, up until the last 2-3 seasons, midseason trades never happen. This ain't the NBA or Major League Baseball. Like that type of stuff just don't happen. So you expect him to come in and do that. Now this year he's had a full offseason. He's been with Justin. He's been with DJ. He's been with Darnell Mooney. There's been more. And you're seeing the guy that he was in Pittsburgh. And yes, we know that Pittsburgh has, in my opinion, the best coach in football, not named Bill Belichick, Mike Tomlin. I would get rid of Flus today for Mike Tomlin. I'd get rid of every coach in the city for Mike Tomlin. But he comes from such a great organization, such a wide receiver heavy franchise, like going all the way back to John Stallworth and Lynn Swan. They've always had great wide receivers. So when they dump somebody, you might say, oh, what's that? It's like in baseball, never trade with the Tampa Bay Rays. They know something we don't. Like that's the kind of thing that they've had with the Steelers. So I get that, but I feel like Chase is setting himself up for a great year. And also he knows it's payday. It's payday. And if there's anything that Ryan Poles showed last week when he signed Cole Kmet, re-signed Cole Kmet, was if you do your job, he'll give you your money. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that both of these guys will be on the roster next year. I don't think Darnell Mooney and Chase, I think one of them will be on another team. I don't think he's going to pay for, especially with a high draft pick you got coming from Carolina. Depending on how high that pick is, that might be Marvin Harrison Jr. So one of them niggas is going to have to walk. And if Tyler Scott has a year we expect him to have, it's definitely not going to be that. He said this is going to be the biggest year of his career. So I just think he's been stepping up. He had 2 touchdowns yesterday in practice. The second one was hilarious because it was intended for Robert Tonyan. It bopped off his hand into the air and landed right in the Chase Claypool's hand in the end zone. And the entire offense went crazy. So I just like what I've been seeing from Chase. I'm rooting for him. And I want to shut some people up.
No, I agree. I also think Chase Claypool, of course, it's all going to go back to Justin because he's the quarterback, the center of your offense. Seeing him get involved more shows the maturity of what Justin is doing. And, you know, as I've said before, our view on Justin Fields is, I mean, I love the kid because I've been a Buckeye fan since I was a kid, and I want him to excel because he is a Buckeye. Also because he is the best quarterback. But we're not going to handhold him. If he sucks, he sucked. When he had a practice, like 3 picks, Scott was like, it was a bad day for the offense. It was a bad day. We don't have to say, well, hey, he's put together 3 good days of practice. Like, no, I don't have to handhold him. We did that with Mitch, and I learned the moment I became a part of Bears Media.
You only do that with Mitch and rookies.
Exactly. You know, to be pragmatic, you know, I'm going to say what's happening. And I think he's put together a very, very good, this is third year, put together a very, very good tape to show how he is getting better.
Second year in the system, too, which helps a lot. That's the biggest thing. You know, we can say whatever about Jay Cutler. The biggest indictment, 2 biggest things that ruined Jay Cutler's time here is outside of him not caring. But more than that is he never had an offensive line here. I think it was one year Jay got sacked like 90 times. Like, Jay never had an offensive line. And how many offensive coordinators did he have? He had like a different offensive coordinator every 7 years, all 8 years he was there. So that's a big thing to be in the same system for consistent years. And that's what we've been seeing from Justin. But what I love the most from Justin was after his bad day on Wednesday, he came to the podium, wore. Like, and Justin's not really talkative.
No.
He was talkative, making jokes. Oh, you know, it's all good. That's the type of stuff you want to see from your quarterback. And he comes out Friday, does what he needs to do.
I can't stress enough about mentality. If I was building the perfect NFL quarterback, I would probably have I would have the football IQ of Tom Brady. I would have the arm strength of probably Favre or Rodgers. I don't know, one of the two. I hate that it has to be them. I think Aaron Rodgers is way more accurate than him, so I probably
that's actually 100% true. Yeah.
So I would have the
arm. We can give compliments to Rodgers now that he's not our problem. Exactly.
I will watch the Jets with joy.
I'm looking forward to watching Hard Knocks on Tuesday.
Yeah, and so I will probably the arm, the strength, the accuracy, all of Mahomes. But the mentality when it comes to turnovers would be Jay Cutler. You know why? Because Jay Cutler didn't care. He did not care.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler, for a second, was one of the best at leading game in drives. I just want y'all to remember
He was great.
I want y'all to remember that. When it came push to shove, my boy Cutty got it done. But that mentality of, oh, well, he threw six picks one game, four touchdowns or stuff like that. He didn't care. Yeah. And it's because when it comes to interceptions, obviously you want to care a little bit and say, okay, I was trying to pick on this cornerback, but he's starting to jump these routes. So maybe I'll have DJ Moore start to do a double move, you know, hot routing. Or, you know, you're speaking with your offensive coordinator. Like, yeah, you know, let's try some double moves because this cornerback is biting on those curl routes or those corner routes. Let's see if we can get him to bite on that double move and take it deep. Sure. But you also say, I threw an interception. Let's get back to it. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to spend your time beating yourself up because in this past happy NFL, this is what happens. People like Aaron Rodgers, who only has 105 interceptions over his, 15-year career, are anomalies.
That is funny. He's only played 15, but he's been in the league almost 20 years. It's a crazy thing. People forget that. He got drafted in 2004.
Yeah. You don't. And so I say that to say that you don't. That's an anomaly. Most people would never have that. Pat Mahomes is already well on his way to 100 interceptions, and Aaron Rodgers was nowhere near that during that period. So you just have to be able to say, you know what? I've thrown some interceptions, but this is the league that we're in. And move back and just continue to do it. And I think Justin's showing that the maturity to say, yeah, it happened. And then to move on. But also, you know, you still want to limit it. You know, in the side of the game, I don't want to see three picks. But you still want to limit it and you still want to mature as a quarterback. But also realize the context, this is training camp. You won't really know well until maybe that second to last preseason game. Okay, you'll see a little bit of game and shit.
We'll see a little bit this Saturday. Flukes didn't comment on – they asked Flukes this week how many reps the starters are going to get in this upcoming Saturday in the first preseason game against the Titans. He's like, oh, they'll play a little bit. My guess is probably only two series.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'm guessing for Saturday. Like I said, we're probably not going to see anything to the third preseason. And I'm glad that Flukes actually uses preseason because that was one of the many bad things Matt Nagy did in his time here. That nigga did not care about preseason. Now, we all know the first month of the season across the league is – glorified preseason. Everybody's trying to get their stuff together, but you still need reps. So you are correct about that.
Yeah, man.
I would say this. As before we get to the moves, what happened this week? I just feel like there was one underrated guy that I feel like not a lot of people have been talking about, who I thought had a really good week, and that to me would be Dante Foreman. He had a really good week this week. You can see different ways they're going to use him. He had like a touchdown just through him yesterday. It was really good in the pass. I that's something I feel like it's been a signing that kind of has gone under the radar because we all know about Khalil Herbert. All Bears fans are interested, are eager to see Roschon Johnson finally practice today. And there's been a couple injuries this week. And Ryan Pohl spoke to the media today and basically confirmed that none of these are serious. That none of these players are in jeopardy of actually missing week one. Tevin Jenkins was out there today. So I think it's just all precaution. And even with the different days, like you saw Eddie Jackson sit last week. We saw Jaquan Brisker sit today. Tremaine Edmonds has sat the last 2 days. Flew said that this is something they spoke to their trainers about, and it's more about giving them rest so they're coming to the season as prepared as possible. So biggest thing we've said on this podcast, I think the biggest thing in Bears Twitter, Bears media is coming into the season was the lack of pass rush. What was going to happen? Who were they going to sign? News broke on Thursday night that the Bears have signed former Indianapolis Colt defensive end Yannick Nick. I don't know how to pronounce your last name. We fuck it up, man.
You know what? Yannick. I'm going to allow Wikipedia to show me how to pronounce
Yannick
Ngawe.
Yannick Ngawe. Okay, there
Yannick
we go.
Ngawe. Yannick.
To a 1 year, $10.5 million deal. He was the biggest defensive end free agent left on the board. This is something where it's kind of been like a staring contest between his agent and Ryan Pohl. First he wanted 3 years, $30 million, then he wanted 2 years, $20 million. And you're getting closer to the season, you got to buckle. You know what I'm saying? But I think this is a great sign. This is a guy who 8 seasons in the league. He has had at least 8 sacks in 6 of the 8 seasons that he's played. It was great last year, 9.5 sacks, which is more than the entire Bears defense last year. He's very used to the system. When we spoke to him yesterday, he said the things that made him want to come here was, number one, because of the relationship he had with some of his assistant coaches in Indianapolis. he really loved Rob Marinelli and this time that he used to have with the Bears. He knew him from being in Vegas. And then he also said, like, he felt like he was meant to be here because he had a bear tattoo. It's one of the things you tell the media to make him, you know, feel, you know, oh, this is cool.
This is a great story.
This is awesome. So I love the signing. And before we get to the other one, what did you think about this signing?
Well, I think he had a very, very productive career in Jacksonville. I mean, this dude was averaging 8 sacks per year. He bounced around in 2000 because I think he got into it with the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, they traded him when they basically rebuilt that team.
What is that? What's the owner?
Jacksonville's team.
Nigga, shut up. What's the owner of the Jaguars called?
Was it Tony Khan, right?
Tony? Cause doesn't his son run AEW or something?
His son runs CEO WWE.
Really?
Yeah, remember when Ari Emanuel bought it.
Then what con runs AEW?
I think he left. WWE.
No.
CEO.
So
Nick Khan is CEO of WWE.
Nick Khan. Okay. So now I'm confused in business. No. I was right. So Shadid Khan is the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. His son, Tony Khan, runs the
AEW. So Nick Khan isn't related to this nigga?
No.
Okay, it's just a different Khan. All right, got you.
His son, Tony Khan. I said it to say he got into it with, I believe, Shadid Khan, and they had arguments that, you know, they ended up trading him. And then he bounced around for 2020 with Minnesota, Baltimore, and then he went to the Raiders. Raiders, he had 10 sacks. Last year, he has 9.5. Coming off two very, very strong years, and he had more sacks than the entire Bears team. I mean, that in itself is an improvement.
Yes.
Because I think right now the biggest question was edge rushing. I've seen a lot from the Twin Towers in Gavon Dexter and Zach Pickens.
They had big weeks this week.
With respect to Justin Jones,
yeah.
If they perform, he might lose some tick and he might end up moving out.
Look, man,
because
Dex had a big week.
There's some big brothers. I mean, big. Like when I see them out, I said, good Lord. Like these dudes are huge and you want them in those positions, occupying the A as the B gap. And then, you know, the only question now, of course, is the other end position. Probably which you'll have I don't forget who the Bears have signed. DeMarcus Walker.
DeMarcus Walker.
So you have DeMarcus Walker now, and then you'll have Yannick Ngakoue, and then you'll have, of course, Justin Jones, Zach Pickens, Gavon Dexter.
Trevor Gibson
sitting on the end position. That would be inside. And so you'll see, you know, it's a much, much, much better line.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is if those two interior players are great, it just frees up space for DeMarcus Walker and Yannick Ngakoue to do their thing.
Yep.
And if that happens, if those are great, you will see one of the greatest defensive revamps in the history of the NFL.
Yep.
What I mean by that is because it happened so quickly. You already love the linebacker position. You love the fact that you've got Jermaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, who are solid, great linebackers. Then, of course, you have
Jack Sanborn.
And then Sewell, who will be occupying, I want to say those
Noah
are,
Sewell, yeah.
I think they're the Sam linebackers. I believe so. So you love to see that. Of course, I think you're going to see much more nickel this season. So you're going to see a lot of Kyler Gordon in there with who I believe will be Tyreek Stevenson will eventually be the starter. I'm not going to say Terrell Smith won't get that because he's been having a great camp too.
Terrell's having an amazing camp. I think a lot of this is going to come down how they play in preseason.
That's true. And so I think, and then of course, you know, Jalen Johnson, he may not have the stats, but he's one of the best corners in the league.
Jalen is a lockdown corner and I stand by
easily.
Like, that's why I said last year, anybody who's like, oh, AJ Brown addressed him. No, even AJ Brown said like, nah, like don't get the yards messed up. A lot of them came on some deep balls,
but remember
AJ Brown. Great.
And then the funny thing is with a wide receiver and a cornerback, the cornerback has to play near perfect. The wide receiver just needs a couple passes. And if he played him 10 snaps, well, he got nothing, but then let's say due to a breakdown, he got himself a 30-yard pass. You go, oh, man, he does something. It happens. And so for a cornerback, I think Jalen's great. He's not a ball hawk. I reserve the title ball hawk for Eddie Jackson and even Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon. I think
Kyler, another great dude who had a great week this week.
So I think the Bears defense has gotten completely revamped.
Yeah.
So I'm – I think these signings are great. I think Ryan Poles, you know, I see a lot of fans of Poles. King Poles done it, which is hilarious to me.
Which I like it, but let's not fall too in love with GMs yet.
I don't fall in love with GMs. Yeah. I don't fall in love with owners. I don't fall in love with players. Coaches. I fall in love with coaches.
I fall in love with coaches if they've been there long enough and they've had results. Like, if we had Mike Tomlin, I have mad Mike Tomlin gifts.
Yeah, I fall in love with results. I am a fan of the Chicago Bears, the team.
Here's a question for you.
Nigga, shut up. I'm still talking. Good Lord. You just butted in. I am in love with the concept of the team, the ontology of the team. What is that team? And when you get into the nature, which is what ontology means, of what a team is, it encompasses the results. You know, it encompasses the results. What does this team do? Does. I fell in love with the Bears, not because of Hollis, not because of the McCaskies. I could care less. But this was my team in my state, in my city. I fell in love with them, and I'm attached to them. Even though I cover them, I'm still attached to them. But I love more the results. I don't care who's there. Love Justin's quarterback, especially because he's a Buckeye. And with college teams, it's a little different because you tend to fall in love with coaches because they're typically there for a long time. But if he's not the guy, somebody else will be the guy. If this is not the player, somebody else will be the players because that's who I care about. But I say that to say the way Ryan Poles has been putting together this defense and this offense in a year later is fantastic. This is one of the best revamps we've seen. And if the defensive line, I think there are three players who I think have some of the most pressure on from my perspective. It's those interior rookies and Justin. If those interior rookies are good, that defense will be probably middle from bottom of the league to middle of the road, maybe top 15, maybe top 12. If Justin is great, that offense can go from once again, well, they were scoring for a certain period. They can go to around a top 12, top 10 offense if Justin is the person succeeding. So, yeah. And what was your question?
My question was, I do interrupt people. I'm trying to get better at that. But my question was, what current coaches in the NFL are worth standing if you're a fan?
Tomlin, Bill Belichick,
Andy Reid.
No,
something Andy Reid disrespect. Mm-mm. Wait, any reasoning?
I saw too much when he was with the Eagles that I'll never forgive him for.
Was it him or that fraud Donovan McNabb?
Could have been that too, because me and Scott were big McNabb fans back in the day.
I love McNabb until the Super Bowl. I mean, T.O. out there with one leg.
He was also throwing some. Very, what would the word be?
Huff
play call. It was just bad. Literally before Mahomes, Andy Reid had a reputation for not getting it done.
This is very true. You rest your case. But we'll go with the last signing before we wrap up. Mercedes Lewis. This is something that came completely out of left field. I did not expect this. Whatever. I was on the way to Hallis yesterday, and shout out Mikey. Mikey and Dante got a nice article right now about the MLB trade deadline winners and losers. Check that out on the bcnet.com. He texted me with sent me the Tom Pelissero tweet. And Tom Pelissero, who was at Bears camp yesterday, I met him and Ian Rappaport. I am the NFL now. Let's be very clear. But it found out that Mercedes Lewis signed a one-year deal. Terms of that deal were not disclosed. But this dude has been in the NFL for 18 years now. He's been in the NFL since I was in high school. First season was 2006. He has spent a great amount of his time with the Green Bay Packers in his current system that is run by Lou Getsy. He's a Lou Getsy guy. Didn't have many receptions last year, only six receptions for 66 yards, but he had two touchdowns in those. He will be a nice vet presence, somebody who understands the system, and he will be tight end three around, you know, under Cole Kmet and Robert Tonyan. I personally like the signing. You know, this is why I like it, because now you've got three reliable tight ends, and this is something in the system, not just in the system, but in this current NFL, where tight ends are as valuable as wide receivers. And you can never have too many touchdown catchers. And this is somebody who could be a red zone threat, somebody who's really going to help with blocking. And you always can use a vet who's been there. It can help out a relatively young team and somebody who knows the system, somebody who Getsy knows personally, working with him with his years in Green Bay. So I like it, man. I really like this signing. And I think it'll be good for the Bears. We didn't get a chance to speak to him because he was taking his physical while we were talking to Yannick and yesterday, but it is official. So we'll probably speak to him on Tuesday You know, when they come back for camp, since they don't do press conferences before Family Fest. So, what's your opinion on Mercedes Lewis signing?
Oh, it's good depth. Your tight ends are still going to mainly be Cole Kmet, Robert Tonyan. Mercedes Lewis can block when it's in the end zone, or he's a good solid red zone threat. So it's a good depth piece. I don't mind it. That was cool. There's really no way to describe that. Then it's cool.
It's smooth. I think that's all we have for y'all. You know, the fact that we were able to do 40 minutes on a week two of training camp, I think this shows us how good we are at our jobs. But that's all we've got for y'all today. Next week, we will be at the preseason game. So we will be doing the podcast from, you know, Soldier Field, you know, and it'll be up the same day. We'll talk about week three in camp, and we'll talk about how that preseason game went against the Titans next week at Soldier Field. And then that will conclude our training camp coverage. We'll still do breakdown pods of the remaining preseason games, obviously. But then pretty much it'll be like, you know, we'll be all full go when the regular season starts in about a month now. We're about a month away. Not that much longer we got. So you know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at Flo Zandolini. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and IG. Follow 79th and Hallis at 79th and Hallis on Twitter. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Man, we got three different tiers on there. It's $5 on 79th and Hallis tier, $5 some accessories tier. And if you want all of them, get the Barber's Chair Network all access, $10 holler, man. So we'll holler at y'all after another great week of camp and the first preseason game, man. So we out of here.